Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the In My Spikes podcast, episode 2 with Peter Boll. So, there has been a lot going on and there's a lot to go through. I wanted to speak about the Olympic Games. I wanted to compare Rio to Tokyo in terms of the experience, the performance mindset and focus. I want to speak about the key differences this year to becoming an Olympic finalist and finishing top 4 and what that means for myself, for my family, Fire State Track Club, and my support team. I want to also discuss the level of support from back home and the feelings behind that. I figured rather than speaking about all this by myself, I'll invite two of my guys, Robbie Hicks and Lachlan Bradford, who happen to host the Funny Business podcast, and they will be joining us. I have known these boys for over a year now, featured in their podcast, and even work closely with them to develop my own podcast.
Well, I'll give you the hot tip. It's weird being on the other end, but we're going to try and switch on. things have been happening for you, man. Things have been happening. Where are you now?
I'm in Germany right now. So I'm back in Tübingen. I call this place my second home. So this is where I base myself every year when I come for competition, international seasons.
Because is it the Diamond League?
Yeah, I've got Paris Diamond League and Lausanne Diamond League coming up. So I basically just live here, just like Melbourne, train. And, you know, I never really compete here. It's just more to live and have a stable place rather than move from house to house to house.
Well, man, it's
Airbnb
funny.
To Airbnb.
You see all the other Aussies going home. They're all in quarantine. And did you see the stuff about the people who are from SA that potentially have to do double quarantine?
I just read that today, which is quite disappointing. That's 28 days. Wow. You know what?
You didn't even have to do any.
Yeah, you were just getting coffee from the coffee shop.
Yet. I don't think I'm escaping quarantine. So when I get back, I'll definitely do my 14 days. Hopefully not 28 days. But also, I think I actually wanted to speak to you guys a bit about, you know, there's been a lot going on. Fatherhood coming up. How are you feeling about that?
Man, I'm feeling all right. I'm pretty nervous. Like my wife was laughing yesterday because she's about 28 weeks pregnant now, which I feel like only like yesterday we're saying, it's at the end of the year. Don't stress. Don't worry. And like she's buying shit every day. So like things are turning up. Like we've got cot and bassinet and more baby things are turning up. And I don't know.
It's starting to feel very real.
Very, very real. Yeah.
And how are you finding that balance with, you know, the well-being group as well? Man, you guys are killing the podcast. What number are you guys up to now?
Well, mate, it ebbs and flows. You know that, baby. We've gone from number 200 to number, I think we peaked at, I'm going to say number 7. I could be lying, but I'm probably definitely lying.
We were definitely up there for a while there in the business charts. But yeah, no, it's been an interesting balance because we've got two parts to our business. I know this pod's about you, but we're happy to have a bit of me time here. We're starting to bring on and hire people for our team. So I guess when we first started chatting, had you on our pod, earlier last year, it was just me and Locke doing a pod. We're still working our jobs. And since then, we've started our business and we've employed some people and got things starting to really hum. It's been so different because everything's sort of happened and we've still been in the same room. You know what I mean? Like we don't have back here in Melbourne, still in lockdown. And well, we're lucky that we're in remote, in regional Victoria, so we're not in lockdown. But it's been weird. All this stuff's been happening for us and we haven't really been able to like meet people and see people. And like my wife being pregnant, still haven't seen my mom in like, I don't know, like 8 weeks or something. Yeah. She hasn't really seen Em with a baby bump, which is a bit weird, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
Well, what about you in terms of the Olympics then? Because Rio was so much different to Tokyo in terms of no crowds and all that sort of stuff. I feel like you're the type of cat that would thrive off having a crowd there. That would have been super different.
Yeah, it does. That's really what I want to speak about. So there's, well, obviously there was Rio 5 years ago, but that was my first. That was my first Olympics. So like, I was just excited to be there. You know, from I think I speak a lot about getting so excited about Rio, getting excited about the free McDonald's, you know, free phones and all these freebies and meeting all the basketball players. And then there comes Tokyo where it's completely different. It's pandemic, no fans, no crowds. There were still vending machines. There were still free phones. But it was just different, man. I think I was just more focused. I was more ready. Like this time, I didn't even open my Samsung phone yet. I think I sent that straight back home. So I was just there for a job, really.
What do you mean Samsung phones? What other perks? You mentioned vending machines and that. What are there mobile Samsung phones in the vending machines? And you just go, yeah, I want one of them.
No, I wish it worked that way. So Samsung was a big, big sponsor for the Olympics, and everyone that participated got a free Samsung S21, I think it was.
That's not bad. Didn't you mention we'll chat the other day, and you said that your brothers cashed in on free TV or some shit before you even got anything with all the media hype and stuff.
Man, my family's been, I've been watching them, and they've been killing this media stuff. And I was watching it actually before my race, and you know, I was thinking, should I be watching these things? Is this distracting? And I was like, no, just be you, man. That's who you are. You don't need to change. You've been the same for the last 4 years. You don't have to change when it comes down to the Olympics. And I think that's why I performed so well. The mindset stayed the same. And I think I spoke to one of the reporters about just being by myself and just being myself. And I didn't need to get off Instagram. I didn't need to do any extra things to stay focused because I was already focused. And there's this idea that we speak about with my manager, James. And it's like, once you're ready, you're ready. When you know you're ready, you're ready. Like, you're just ready. You obviously try to avoid all distractions, but when you're ready, you know it. When you're fit, it's just there and it just clicks. It's the coolest thing.
You had such an interesting lead up, man. Like being stuck here in Oz, like you didn't have the same, I guess, level of competition to push you to run that time to get you the automatic qualifier into the Olympics. And I know that you were here just clocking up W's before you went over.
you know what's interesting is I didn't actually have a Olympic qualifier, but I was out here on Instagram saying road to Tokyo, but I actually didn't have a qualifier until June. Like I had no qualifier, but I knew within myself it was just there. I just needed the competition. And it was gonna happen. So after nationals, I think we're speaking about it. Should we go for a time? And I said, no, nah, let's just win it. The time will come. And going to the Gold Coast, it's pretty cool. I ran that standard the first time, and the hype was there. Everyone's excited, and then did it again the following week. And the plan wasn't actually to go overseas at all. And at that moment, I just messaged Justin, and I think James was already speaking to Justin about potentially heading overseas. And I was like, man, job's done here. Let's go overseas. Let's meet them in Tokyo. And we kind of had to weigh out if that's going to ruin your preparation, the risk of COVID, obviously, and all those things. And I was like, you know, you got to take risks. I mean, this whole year has been a risk. And I mean, we could get like those restrictions everywhere. There was restrictions in Melbourne itself. Just I left Melbourne literally 2 days before the restrictions came in place to go to the Gold Coast. And Joseph, my training partner, left a day later and had to do 14 days quarantine in Brisbane. So imagine if I had to do 14 days. Like, there would be no Olympics.
Oh, mate, there'll be a few hot chocolates. Don't worry about that. But tell us about, like, you know, like you said, like you had that confidence. I remember when we were catching up last year and you were saying, like, I'm in, I'm doing it. And what does something like, you got the qualifier, you're going to the Olympics, and then all of a sudden you're over in Europe doing this stuff. What is that prepare you for? Is it to see the competition, to get more of an insight, like to get some like speed into the legs? I don't know really.
It's like match fitness?
Is it match fitness? Is it training?
No, it's just being able to compete at like high intensity with guys that are like the best in the world. So, you know, Australia is pretty cool because we're starting to create this high performance culture where, you know, 2 years ago we were happy with running 146 in Australia. And I just said, we have to change that. We can't be content with running 146 it's just not going to work. The rest of the world's running 143. Like, as long as that's your goal to be great in Australia, then it's just not going to work. You go overseas and you just get exposed. Like the first race, like, see, this year I was more prepared. I ran 144 twice in Australia before heading overseas. That was the first time ever. I ran the fastest time in Australia by Australian, and I still think that's not good enough. I still think we should be able to run a lot faster in Australia. And I always say this, it's still 800 meters. Like, wherever you go, whether it's like Europe, Australia, or wherever, you're still running 800 meters. So you should be able to perform. And that was the mindset we carried this year, man. And I'm glad we did. I was a bit disappointed that Joseph wasn't with me, because I think if Joseph was there, we would have been a 143. We could do that, which saves us time to go into Europe a bit earlier. And then it's all confidence, man. Like, when I got to Europe and I already had 2 144s under my belt, man, I looked at the guys. I respect a lot of these guys, but you just don't fear them. It's different.
I just don't fear them.
And
hey, man, let's talk about Joseph.
Yeah, like, have all the respect for them, which is cool.
Wait, let's talk about Joseph. He's been
Dang Fever, baby.
He was your biggest supporter. Like, you could see he loved it. He was watching all the people there watching. He's sharing everything across socials. I'm sure he would have loved to be there alongside you, but having someone like that to train with and like go head to head with and battle in training, do you think having someone like that has been able to push you on? Because I know you broke his record. I'm sure you would have sent him a little message to say, hey, mate, record's mine.
No, Joseph broke the record in 2018. And to be honest, even James and Justin, we're a bit disappointed that it took that long for us to break it again. You know, 2018, the boys were on. You know, we went to Stockholm, ran 144. I mean, I think Joseph ran 144 a few times. I mean, he was only 19. Joseph is a different beast. He's talented. And at the same time, I don't think people understand our relationship. It's like, Joseph is a brother. Like, we feed off each other. Like, I mean, yeah, you kind of get upset and stuff losing to each other, but that's the feel, right? If I get upset to losing to Joseph in 144, it means I have to run 143. And you kind of become better. So, like, we live together and we run the same event. And the idea that we always entertained was, as hard as it is to already make an Olympic, and there's only three people that can take a spot, right? We wanted two of them, which only leaves one spot. I mean, we didn't get it done this time in Tokyo, but that's an idea to entertain for Paris, for Birmingham, all these events coming up, because until today, we actually haven't made a international team together, which is kind of crazy.
Still,
Commonwealth Games 2018, when he was there, I missed out. I was injured. 2019, I was at World Champs. He wasn't. And now I'm in Tokyo and he wasn't there. So yeah, it'd just be cool.
Are you competitive?
It's a cool story because he comes from Toowoomba too.
When you live together, you competed everything, like you played FIFA and shit on PlayStation.
We do compete in FIFA, and Joseph is super competitive. So, you know, I used to just smash him in FIFA. I remember one story we're in South Africa in like Johannesburg, Potchefstroom, so southeast of Johannesburg, I think, and we were there for a training camp, and we'd play FIFA, and I was just beating him, and he just smashed the controller. he was that mad, and then he worked out that, man, like, if I keep smashing controllers, it's gonna add up. It's quite expensive. So he just put all these hours in, and now I can't beat him anymore. So I just don't play him as much. He's unbeatable in FIFA at the moment. Yeah.
Good smooth.
It's the same thing. We used to play basketball. We used to like play one-on-one, and I used to beat him all the time, and then he just practiced shooting and shooting and shooting, and then he became like it's cool.
Tell us about you're over in the Olympics. What's the vibe like in terms of the athletes, the other athletes, like the Aussie athletes? Is there the camaraderie there? Where, because I see they rock up to the other athletes' events and cheer them on. I saw all the signs for you, mate. There was you've got the easiest name to come up with some fun sort of stuff. So I think there was Spag Bowl, Turn Up the Pete. There's a few good ones, mate.
Yeah, I saw that image and I just couldn't stop laughing. I mean, that was cool to have that support because the stadiums are obviously empty and you could only really go to your own sport. So to have members of the athletics team come and support each other when they weren't competing or when they were done,
it was pretty cool. So the atmosphere was nice in a way that we were kind of restricted to being with ourselves within the Australian team. So, and it was great because everyone on the Australian team was so supportive, man. We just got around every sport. I think you guys said you saw me at the basketball. I got around the basketballers, got around the boxing, got around everyone, just tried to meet everyone. And this also, I mean, no one speaks about it, but man, the staff were unreal. You know, some of the staff there were just great. We had a barista. It was awesome. It's just awesome culture. Like you could just get down and have coffee like you in Australia. It was sick.
What about the fact that the COVID, like this was such a different game. Like no crowds, so many different rules and restrictions and masks and COVID tests. And tell us a bit about that. Like what was it like going through that full regime to go through to make sure everyone was safe?
We were prepared for this last year. So when I went to Europe last year, and this is what it is. You have to go to Europe more for the experience rather than the competition, I think, because you have to kind of feel everything. So last year in Europe, we had to get COVID tested for everything. You had to isolate maybe for 48 hours in your hotel room. Like none of this stuff is new. I've already experienced it last year. And I think I just wrote an article recently and I think the extra year really did help. Because last year I was only able to run 144 once. It was just everything so new. This year was like, oh, I've already been through it. I already know what to expect. I've already competed without crowds in Europe. And you just realize you're still running 800 meters. And last year I realized people are still fast. Like, yes, there was COVID, but I mean, so this year, like we saw the greatest race I saw was the 400 meter hurdles where the world record was gone, like in the pandemic, which is awesome.
I was looking at the times that they were running, jumping hurdles, and I was like, seeing what time made the semis of the 400 flat. And I was like, imagine if they were, what time they would have run without jumping.
Yeah, I think he's going for the European record in a few weeks for 400 flat. And to put that into perspective, guys, okay, I'm an Olympian. I've made the final. So I race against this guy. He's running over hurdles. I run 400 without the hurdles. He'll still beat me. That's how insane it is.
I was going to ask you, like, I know you do the 800, but before you got into the 800, were there any other race or distances that you were like, oh, I'm pretty good at? Like, was there any, like the 1500, the 400, the 100?
Man, I just had a lot of fun with it because I didn't really think athletics was much of a sport, you know. Coming to Australia, growing up with my brothers, we just played a lot of soccer, a lot of football. And then when you go to school and everything's compulsory, we just had fun with it. I think I'll tell a story where I had to do long jump. And I think you have three jumps. And I did one jump. It was like 6:30. And I looked at it and I said to my coach, I think that's enough. That should get the job done. And we just went and I did high jump where I jumped 180 scissor kick because I couldn't frosby flop. So it's just starting all that school. And then now, like 10 years later, it's not a school carnival anymore, you know? It's the Olympic Games. It's a different ball game.
I reckon you should have done that. Cool. Like that bloke from the 400 hurdles when he got the world record. Yeah, we just like ripped the shirt open.
Ripped the shirt off.
Yeah, I was expecting after your semi-final finger wave, kissing to the cameras, oh, that might have been a shirt rip.
No, but you gotta keep the mental energy there though, you know? Maybe in the final, maybe if I had won a medal. which is another thing I actually wanted to talk about, you know. The support, what was interesting was the support was consistent, you know, which kind of screamed that, you know, the support's there, whether you win or not, like you deserve it. And that was like credit to the whole of Australia. Like I literally, till this day, I'm like, where's my medal? Like, I feel like I won or I have a medal around me with all the hype, with all the papers, with all, you know, that's the power of the stories here. It's just stories are powerful. What you do is powerful. And then when you can put it into a story and be able to share it and tell it, it's pretty powerful. And people say, what do you hope to achieve out of this? I think just, you know, just share your story. I think it's quite unique if you can share your story. Like if I can motivate you to do what you love doing, not what I love doing, what you love doing, and stay consistent and share it with your own story, then that's the key, right? And I think we're kind of doing all right at the moment.
100%. You're doing all right, man. I think that one of the things you spoke to us about, which you spoke to your coach, James, around, which was around impact. What did you mean by going to the Olympics to make an impact?
I always felt like it needed to be more than just about myself to get to the highest level. There's just needed to be more purpose. There's got to be more motivation. There's got to be a lot of internal motivation. There's got to be some intrinsic motivation as well, the external motivation, but also that impact and that power, which is like to make your family proud, like things that you value, like family, your country, people. And I value people, I value relationships. And I say, since I started 10 years ago, every person that's been in that story, they're always there. So, you know, whenever I go to Perth, you know, what's funny is my parents have never told me to go to training once in their lifetime. Like, they've never said, Pete, why aren't you at training? Like, which was cool because they're really invested in me as a person. And on the other side, it wasn't that cool because sometimes I didn't want to go to training, kind of feeling lazy. And I literally didn't go. And they never told me to go. But my mom, every time I come to Perth, she would say, so my first coach was Bernie Catley. My mom would say, go visit your coach, go visit your coach, go visit your coach. Cause that's our family. We're just so close. We invest in relationships. So like till this day, whenever I go to Perth and she noticed that I haven't gone to visit my old coach, she would go say, go visit him. Or she says, how's your teacher, Helen? You should make contact with her, go visit her. And we catch up. So there's more important things, you know. Running is great. Running is what I've been gifted with and what I'm good at, but there's a lot more important things, like relationships, like people are important, you know, the world is important.
You've had a fair few people in your corner helping you out along the way, like especially in the lead up in the games. Does anyone particularly want to give a special mention or a shout out to and what they've done to help you?
Yeah. As I was plotting the podcast, the next few episodes, and I just decided to push, you know, I've had a few guests that are coming up and I just decided to push them a little bit back and change it up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get them on the pod. So just to speak about it as well, speak about the journey and stuff like that. So I'll have my teacher on it. I'll have my coaches, you know, Justin, Bernie, obviously Joseph. Joseph plays a big part because, you know, athletics is individual. So when we travel the world together, and we live together, so there's something familiar there. Sometimes you do miss home, but there's something familiar there. And James, and you know, there's just so many people there. And another person was actually, I sometimes like to, I don't know, like dream a lot and visualize a lot. And this year I just figured like I'm in the best shape of my life and I need to learn how to cope with it because I'm going to be creating and generating a lot of hype. Because, you know, going to the final, I saw that like at the beginning of the year, like I wrote it down. And when I write it down, I just believe it's going to happen. So, and there was this thing that I had to figure out, well, how am I going to cope with it all? And then I spoke to one of my great friends, which is Paul O'Brien. He runs Leadership Matters. And we just went through and just did workshops. Like, it was pretty cool. It's like, what do you want your future to look like? And like all the important thing, like in terms of your health, your family, your values. And we went through all of that stuff because the goal is to always stay the same, like to progress, but be you. And that gets hard once you start achieving things and once you get more people in your corner. So I already knew like 6 months ago, like that's what I needed to work on. So when it came to competing and all this hype was generated through the rounds, I was calm because I did the work for it.
It's kind of what you were saying with your family, like staying grounded and having that human element. I fucking love that. What about when, before the rat, let's say all the hype's on and you said you dealt with the pressure beforehand, what's going through your head like 1 minute before the final? Is it the pressures of everything? Is it the race on what I need to do? Like, how do you like contain yourself? Like the lead up to the big final, the lead up to all the races, really, like is it all going through your head before the race, or is it just like focus on the job?
Generally, there would be so much going through your head before a race, usually I kind of worked out the pattern for me. I get nervous the day before or sometimes the day of the race, but as soon as I start getting for the race, there's like no nerves. There's nothing. And, you know, I was speaking to James and I said, I just couldn't work out why I wasn't getting nervous. Like, I wasn't getting nervous at all. Like, there was, it's just not enough to kind of like be like, oh, bother me. Like, I remember going to the track for the semifinals. And I was just thinking, oh, these boys are going to be in trouble today. I was just feeling that good. Like, I was just feeling great. And I was just looking, I was like, I just could not wait to get to the start line. I was just that calm. I mean, for the heats, it was a little bit, it was in the morning. So I was fine for the heats. It was just, we spoke about these things too, that the heats were going to be the toughest because they're in the morning. It's going to be hot. It's 10 a.m. You gotta wake up early. So when I got that done, I was like, yeah, it's game time. It's time to have fun, you know. And then the final was a little bit more to think about. Because in the final, you know, distance running, it gets tactical. And in the final, all the 9 finalists, none of them were front runners. So like the semis, like for the semis, I knew who was going to go lead it. For the heat, I knew who was going to go lead it. Like that was no brainer. Like I just knew. And for the final, I also knew no one's going to lead it either. So I knew it was going to be slow. So I had to just position myself in a place to win at all costs. Could have positioned myself a little bit back and maybe came home with a medal, but I wanted to come home with the best medal. So there was no disappointment that like, okay, you didn't come third. You could have ran a little bit better and came third, but I wanted to put myself in the best position to kind of win it because that's what we entertained. And it's like go for all or nothing. And that's what we did. And that's why I could be at peace, I think.
Man, watching that lead up.
You said the same thing, didn't you? Yeah.
As soon as the race finished, we were screaming at the TV watching. And like, obviously when you said straight after the race, we could see it in your face. Like you were pumped that you've been there and you could see the impact that you've made, but you were still said it straight up. I'd be lying if I said I was disappointed, if I was happy with the result. Like you didn't go there to come to get a bronze. You know what I mean? You ran that race to win gold and you gave yourself every opportunity through the heats. But what I want to touch on before we get into that is like your semi-final in terms of the viewing numbers, you had over 3 million Aussies tune in to watch you in the semi and over 3.1 million Aussies tune in to the final.
I want
to
talk 10 o'clock at night too.
10 huh? o'clock at night. People are waiting to watch you. You're on the front page of every single paper across the country. You're on every news website. Everyone on Twitter, you're trending on Twitter. You're trending.
Twending.
You're trending. You're trending on every platform there is. Like, how was that buzz for you?
I was trending. laughing. I think my family has been the funniest to speak to about. And my mom would tell me stories that everyone would walk up to her and say, "Oh, your son. That's your son. That's your son." And they had like all these media, the news people come like since the morning, and my sister like, these guys were here the whole day. We even went and gave them water, cheers. And it's just been cool to generate that much hype. Like, and that's the power of sport, right? And more so, I think that's the power of story. Because I mean, the sports have always been there. I've always been running 800 meters. It's just when people get the opportunity to kind of listen to your story and get to know you as a person. And that's the coolest thing, I think. They're obviously invested in the sport and the results, but they were more invested in me as a person. And I think I just can't be thankful enough for that. So yeah, seeing the viewings and seeing everything, like, it's like, whoa, like athletics needs it as well. Which was cool. And it just shows it's like, this is not just about you. This is about everyone, about your community, about your country, about people in general.
So how has it changed your life since then? Like since you've, I know it's only pretty fresh, but now it's like the road to Paris and now you do have all the eyes. You said you've done the work like 6 months before in terms of staying grounded, all that sort of stuff. How have you seen it change everything really? Like from now, you've gone from sort of relatively unknown to now, like this guy is going to Paris and he's going for a medal, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more fans, which is awesome. I think I went into Tokyo with 10K followers, maybe. And I'm pretty sure I'm on 46.7. But I'm not keeping
loving count. That. Sitting in bed looking at all the new followers. You're pretending like you're not looking, but you are, huh?
it's just being unreal. And there's so much messages of support to go through. And
it's cool, it's awesome. And then like big names, like you know, and there's also close people that are always there, like always speaking to you consistently. And one person that got behind me was John Stephenson. He's a hype man, and he'd kind of just, he'd give me a call and hype me up. It's like, you're ready, brother. This is your time now. And it was like, you know, Johnny Steph is a hype man, and I've known him for a while. And then I speak to Joseph, and the post Joseph was putting on is like, and someone, I was at the airport, and like, someone's like, what's Joseph's been posting you so much. Does he not feel like he needs to be here or disappointed? I said, of course he'd be disappointed that he's not here, but like let's not take the focus on how supportive he is right now. Like, that's cool. And I think it's inspired him. And I got a text from Joseph and said, like, when we get back, we need to get to work and stuff like that. And that was cool. Like, that was awesome. And then there was, you know, of course, Bill Shorten, very good friend of ours. It's actually helped us quite a bit, myself and Joseph. So everyone's like, oh, Bill's talking about you. I'm like, yeah, Bill's been our friend for a while. Like, he's been there by our side for the last year or so. So that was cool. And then Danny Green, I'm reaching out. Dylan Alcott, there's a lot of people been reaching out, which is awesome. Eddie, man, it's just been cool. It's been really cool.
I reckon everyone's hanging for me to come back to Oz, man.
And then there was a call from Scott Morrison, right? Of course, I don't have his number saved. So it was 7 a.m. I get this phone call. I wake up and I just hang and put an automated message like, sorry, I can't talk right now. And then I go back to listen to the voicemail of Scott Morrison. I was like, oh man, what are you doing? And that was pretty cool. He called back and just said, congratulations. And, you know, the country needed it this time and all this, which is cool. Which is awesome. Yeah.
How crazy is it that your profile got so big that you hung up on the Prime Minister?
by accident.
You texted and said, when I'm ready, Scott. When I'm ready.
To be fair, I don't think he knew I was in Europe. So he thought we were probably in the same time zone.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's chat about after the finals race. You've come in, the interview that you did, I think that's something that really stood out for us straight away. It was just like, you're... One of the reasons why we love you as much as we do is because you are so genuine, but you're such an inspiration, man. And I think that when we heard how you talk about the end of the day, we're all human. Like, to come out and say something like that at that moment with all the eyes of the nation on you, I feel like it was it brought tears to my eyes. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like so many people across the nation would have felt the same way. Like, did you have it scripted? Did you have it read from your hand? Like, what was going on there?
Well, I didn't have it scripted, but well, think about it. If I had won a medal, that interview would have been delayed. And I would have had to do a lap around the oval and stuff like that as well at the same time. No, I was just speaking right from the heart, man. And I always do. And above all this, I always just try to be myself, and that's who I am, and speaking straight from the heart, nothing was scripted. It's just there. Like, that's how I felt at the moment. And that's what I've been feeling the whole games, the support of everyone. Because I do come from a Sudanese background. So everyone's like, you know, the Sudanese community is so proud, and I'm set. And of course they are. You know, that's my background. That's who I am. And that's my heritage, and I take pride in it. And so those have been the questions, like, they're so proud. But there was over 300 viewers. So I felt like, yes, they're so proud, and I'm so proud to represent them. But 3 million viewers, that's a lot of different people from different groups, and that needs acknowledgement as well. And that's why it was like, yeah, we're all human at the end of the day, and we're just supporting each other based on talent and based on your achievements and you as a person, you know. So it's always great, man. It was just straight from the heart, and I really did mean it. So it's cool.
Oh, you made all the Aussies proud, man. I'm telling you, just the way you handled yourself, and the victory lap would have been funny. How many kisses you reckon you would have blown? I reckon there would have been about 1,000.
who would I be blowing kisses to? There's no one in those crowds.
You'll find the camera. Don't worry about that, mate.
You'll find it. Like, outside of sports, man, like you've now been able to build this profile where people are so aware of who you are and what you do, where you come from, your story. Obviously, your focus is on next year with Commonwealth Games, 3 years later to Paris. But you as a person, like, I think a lot of the things here that when I was seeing all the media stuff come out there, like, one of the things that I've been so impressed with after meeting and spending time with you is, like, you're an intelligent dude. You really switched on and you care more. It's like more than just sports. What are some of the things that you're hoping to get out of this outside of Peter the athlete moving forward over the next few years?
The good thing, I'm never afraid to ask questions and I'm never afraid to reach out to people for advice. So, you know, when I spoke to Paul and we went through those value system and what I wanted for the future, you know, every few months or a few weeks, I revisit those documents and just go through them, because sometimes it does get hard. Sometimes things do change. And then also Craig Foster, he's great. He wrote a wonderful article and I just reached out to him on I think it was Twitter. And I said, look, I'd love some guidance. I'd love some advice. You know, obviously this is all going to be all new and, you know, and we jumped on a call for about an hour. Was it yesterday maybe? And gave me great advice. And above all, he said, be you. You don't have to change anything, because where you are now, just be yourself, and don't be afraid to make mistakes, because you are, as you said, you are human and we do make mistakes. So just be yourself above all of this and try not to be, you know, don't get pushed around or anything. Just stay true to your values. So I think those are more things I'll be focused on, and those things will keep you grounded and keep you the same. And that's what the focus is. And that's why I reached out to Craig, and that's why I reached out to Paul O'Brien, and that's why I reached out to my family. And right now it's really important to keep that support network very close, because those people that ground you. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, hopefully, fingers crossed. But it doesn't mean you have to accept every single opportunity. You know, some opportunities just might not align with your values. So what are you chasing here? And above all of this is to remember to have fun. And literally that's what I did in Tokyo. It was so fun. And I think you could see it. Like it's like, dude, what are you doing slowing down? Like you could break another Australian record. It's like, no, it's not about the Australian record, man. Let's just have fun. It's not about running fast. No. It's like about winning and having fun. So above all, just remember to have fun.
Oh, words to live by. I reckon we'll print that on a t-shirt, baby, and we'll sell that bad boy, I reckon. Fun to have fun.
Well, the well-being, right? It's all about your mental health and your physical health at the same time, right? Exactly right. And you guys understand that. And that's why we have such a great relationship. And that's why we invest in each other. It's cool. Like, we understand that. What's more important, you know? And what's more important is you as a person.
Well, talking on your podcast, obviously, we're very thankful to be able to come here and help you highlight a bit more about your story and your experience over at the Games. But what can people expect moving forward from the pod? Obviously, you come out last week with a short, sharp, here's what's going on today. It's a bit of a share your story. But what can people expect and why should they follow along?
The journey, man. The journey is so unique. And, like, I could have never imagined where my spikes would take me, and like everywhere. Like, I just spoke about speaking to Craig Foster and like got a call from Prime Minister. These are all stories like the outside of the track, but what's important is I got to these opportunities and these stories, creating these stories through getting better at sports and you know, achieving all these things in track. So what people will have to expect is, you know, I love the sport. So that's number one priority, to continue to do that at all costs. And, you know, really do try to bring home a few medals in the next few years leading up to Paris. You know, we got Birmingham next year. We got world champs. We got Paris. We got that. So that's what people can expect. And then, you know, I do write a lot of blogs and stuff like that. So I will write a bit of my journey and all these things. And yeah, just to follow the journey. So to follow the journey and the people that I meet, you know, across the way, like you boys, we've known each other for a year now. And I mean, it wasn't just, and that's the thing about investing in people. It wasn't just one podcast and it was like, okay, that's it. We haven't spoken again. Like, we caught up at Benny and me and we speak
catch up all the time, and we will continue to do so. So people like that, and then people that I look up to and around the sport as well. And then there's the community focus. I'm community focused. So there's the community focus as well, giving back to the community and having a few of them share their stories and stuff like that. So it'd be cool, man. I think I'm so excited, man. Just having these different conversations and getting all these insights and learnings, because that's literally how I've been learning the whole time, you know. I love reading and all those. I love reading and researching, but there's just so much power in conversations because you just happen to remember them a lot more. So say, where was I? I think I was in South Africa. I was reading Trevor Noah, Born a Crime. It's a great book. And then I went to South Africa and spoke to the people. It's just like, wow, like those things I will never forget. Like that book, I took a lot out of it, but like those conversations in South Africa, I took a lot. It's cool. Even in Tokyo, I mean, the Sudanese team came up to me, spoke to me. I got to meet them. That was cool. And then the South Sudanese team got to meet them. The refugee team got to meet them. It's just like awesome stories that I write down. And if I don't write them, I'll be speaking about them. So there's a lot of value in them. So yeah, do be tuned. I'm not trying to sell the podcast yet. But yeah, that's cool. And I'm passionate about them. Like just talking about them right now, it's you know, it gets you going. It's nice.
Oh, mate, 100%. I feel like the best thing about having a podcast, speaking from our point of view, is the network and the connections you make. Like obviously you make them through athletics and all the stuff you're doing in the community, but actually having a podcast and getting to meet people who you might not have ever met before, that you're picking their brains, yeah. And all of a sudden you'll be over somewhere in a year's time and they'll be there and you know a little bit more about them and you have that rapport. And I feel like them connections and stuff is what, like you were saying, is what you remember for the rest of your life, isn't it?
And also, you know, I'll be talking to you boys a lot. There's going to be a lot of advice, and you know, I'm humble enough to ask for advice and things I don't know. As like this year, I think we've been working on this for a while, and you guys have been bouncing back ideas back and forth and all these things, and I'm so appreciative of it at the same time. So yeah, so thank you, and man, I can't wait for what's to come. And then also, like, your journey's been exciting. Like you could see how it's changed, and like you started with this funny business, the well-being and all these things. I was just seeing it from the outside. Like I know people are always like, oh, you're so inspirational, but I get as much inspiration from people like yourselves and people doing things they love doing. I don't really care what it is, as long as you love doing it and it brings a smile to your face. It just, like, you know, that's inspiring. Like when people just love doing what they love doing, it's cool.
Fucking love
that. Oh, we love compliments. Oh, we love that too.
But hey, man, before we wrap up your own podcast, if people are interested to find out more about you and where they can find you across different socials, where are you active?
You'll be everywhere. When's the OnlyFans coming, Pete?
I'll be everywhere. Well, mainly, let's see. Mainly on Instagram and on LinkedIn. I do use that platform quite a bit. And then Twitter. So the podcast will be there. And then, you know, you boys are obviously helping put it together. So Funny Business Wellbeing Group, you guys have been doing a great job distributing that. So yeah, I think follow the Wellbeing Group, as well as, you know, I think I'm at PBall 800 every platform. So if you go type at PBall 800 and there's nothing there, then I'm not on that platform.
Oh, that's great.
I love that, man. Well, thanks so much for letting us come on and help you unpick some of the crazy story that was the Olympics, because like we said, coming from our experience, being here in Oz, watching you over there and seeing how you captivated the nation, man, you should just be so proud, and so should your family, and just excited to be alongside you and helping in any way, shape or form as you continue to make the impact that you do, because you're just such a good human.
Thank you. And before we go, where can people find you guys? Like, oh, I know, mate, where I can find you.
Well, you can find us on LinkedIn. We live on LinkedIn. Robbie Hicks and Lachlan Bradford, we're normally on there. We live on Instagram as well. So Funny Business. We'll be probably commenting on all your photos, mate. So I think if they just go through your content, mate, you'll see our heads with the fire symbol or something next to it. So let's make it easy for the listeners, huh?
And just quickly, the purpose of Wellbeing Group.
Oh, well, mate, I think you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head earlier, man. It was about meeting the people, the deeper meaning behind what we're doing. And we've found since starting the pod and doing all this business shit and being exposed to all these amazing support and people, that that was the most important thing. It's exactly how you see things. You know, it's more like, it's, we've got one life, and yes, we want to make it fun and all that sort of stuff, but we really want to make sure we're looking after people and actually caring and supporting. And like you said, it's all about the journey. So I feel like once you, I don't know, we're trying to encapsulate that and build that out as best we can.
And the content and stuff we're putting out, it's about, I guess our slogan is around life's too short to be unhappy. So for us, it's around providing, if it's content, if it's products, if it's opportunities, whatever it is, it's about people getting the tools and tricks and tactics that they need to make actionable steps in their own life to put them forward in a better way. Because I think there's a lot of people out there at the moment who, obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic, but there's a lot of people, like mental health's the biggest pandemic going on at the moment, where it comes from people being sad. You know, they're not really sure what's going on in their life. They don't have that purpose and that meaning. So if we can put some good back out in the world and do some things that can help people take actionable steps that impact their lives, that's why we started. So having you be able to tell your story and be involved with what we're doing, it's just feels like a good match.
I love it. Love it. And what I loved was your live show. And I think there needs to be a people and wellbeing group live show once Melbourne's back to normal.
I was going to say, mate, we'll come to Germany if you want. We're happy to go anywhere else, but here at the moment, like, as long as it's not live on Zoom or something like that, we're down.
Yeah. Yeah. Next plane. You know where I am.
Oh, 100%,
I can't mate. Promise you get back home though.
That's the look, we probably don't want to go back home, do we?
Well, I've got a kid coming, so maybe I'll have to.
He has to go back home.
I think Rob might need to.
Man, you can get some hot chocolates, baby, all day, every day.
Yeah, get some coffee. Yeah, say no more. No, I appreciate you guys. This has been so fun, and thank you for hopping on. You know, I was thinking about coming in and just speaking myself, and I said, nah, like, come on, it'd be a lot more fun having the boys there. And it's been great. It's an awesome conversation. And I think it spoke about most things, and appreciate you guys.
Hey, if you want to help Pete out, hit that review button on Apple Podcasts and leave him a review. It goes a long way to help him push up the ranking. So if you are new to the podcast game and you don't really listen to podcasts much, and this is the first time you come about it.
In My Spikes, baby. Five stars.
5 stars and leave a comment.
In My Spikes. Podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.